you. Yeah, JR just gave me permission to go over a little bit. I hope you guys are okay, all right? Thank you. And I knew, Leanne Hall, would you come on up here? Where are you? There you are. I knew that when we gave Brandon 3 minutes, it was gonna be at least triple. So here you go. This is Leanne Hall. Would you stand with us? Leanne is going to read for us today's passage, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29.
All right. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come."
This is the word of the Lord. Would you stay here? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your word to us, that you would gift it to us for our benefit, for our growth, and that you would be glorified in our lives and your kingdom would expand through us. May your spirit give us wisdom and understanding, enlighten our eyes to see and speak to our hearts through your word, that we may really hear your instruction and your encouragement. Keep on changing us, Lord. Keep on growing us up. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Would you give her a hand? Would you please be seated? I asked her to come up here today because today's passage is about participation. And I love everything that has happened today because there's been a lot of participation. You've participated in communion together, sharing in the body and blood of Christ. We're in week 3 of our seed series, partnering alongside of our small groups. And this week, we're going to primarily focus on this passage. This passage. I'm going to read it again, but first I want to back up and give you a little context about what's happening in the book of Mark. Jesus has begun his teaching ministry in its first century Israel, and at the beginning of his ministry, he proclaimed, "The time has come," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And then he begins preaching all throughout modern-day Israel and Jordan and Judea, Galilee, Perea, and the Decapolis, and he starts showing the people in words and actions what the kingdom of God is. Jesus is healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, inviting sinners to eat and converse with him, inviting them to follow him, to repent, to leave behind their old life in order to be reconciled to God. And big crowds start following him. And so we get to check hope and healing in this new kingdom of God. And so we get to chapter 4, and he's preaching to one of these big crowds along the Sea of Galilee, and he tells this parable. It's about a farmer who sowed seed. And the first parable that he tells is about 4 different kinds of soil, which JR talked about 2 weeks ago. But then he tells a similar parable with the same character, but with a different twist, and he didn't explain it. I'm going to read it again. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces its crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grape ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." My first inclination right now is to say, who is the farmer? What is the seed? What is the sickle? What is the harvest time? What do they all mean? But the thing about parables, most of them, is that Jesus didn't explain them, and he leaves it to us, up to us, and people get super hung up on what everything means. So the farmer is God, right? No, wait. The farmer is me. No, I'm the farmer. Okay, and the seed is the word of God. No, it's the gospel message. Or maybe they're the same thing. I don't know. Is he the one that's reaping, or am I reaping? And what is the sickle? Is this about evangelism, or is it about growth for people who've already submitted their lives, and the harvest is judgment day? What is it? Yes. And yes. And yes. And yes. Because Jesus, in the terrific rabbinical tradition, wants us to think through what this could possibly mean for us. But he doesn't want you to get hung up on what everything means. Like, for instance, in the book of Revelation, you're like, what is the dragon? Well, the dragon is obviously this person. Or the beast is this, or whatever. He doesn't want you to get hung up on that. He wants you to get the point, the overall picture of the parable. The parable is about the spread of the good news and God's invitation for us to participate in the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk more about that later, what that is, and then how we respond to that invitation. In other words, these three things. God wants your participation in the advancement of his kingdom. Number two, you cannot hurry or worry the kingdom's growth in people's lives. And number three, God's word will produce a harvest of salvation and growth. We're going to look at each. Number one, God wants your participation in the advancement of his kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. The seed has to be thrown. The seeds are God's word, his kingdom priorities, his everlasting love, his invitation of salvation and right living, and it's meant for people wrapped in your words, your actions, your thoughts, your behaviors, your priorities. God spreads his seed, his word, his good news through you, and he wants your full participation. So you're not only recipients of the kingdom work, but your instruments as well. Scott used the word ministry multiple times up here. Do you actually know what the word ministry means? I hear people in full-time ministry, or he's going into the ministry. And we tend to use it in a professional sense, like those people we celebrated up here today, professional ministers. But in the Bible, the word ministry actually comes from the word diakoneos, which means to serve or the work of bringing. In other words, ministry is another word for sowing the seed. It's the bringing of the great message of life and salvation through Jesus Christ from God to his people. Ministry is the participation in God's kingdom. It's service to God and to other people in his name. And so what does this like practically look like? What are we bringing? What are we sowing? Well, ministry is exactly how Jesus modeled it. It is bringing the good news of Jesus, his salvation and freedom and justice and kindness and care and healing and righteousness, his sacrifice, right teaching, and this is the invitation to join with Jesus in the advancement of his kingdom. And who is called into ministry? That's right, everyone. Not just JR, not just Jason, not just whomever is called. We all are called into ministry, the bringing of the word. And you are the result of the growth of that seed that Jesus and other people have sown into. He's what makes you what you are and wants you to get involved in what he's doing. And then in turn, participating in the throwing out of the good seed to others as well. Now, Jesus does not give us, in this little parable, the methodology of actually how we should do that, of how we're supposed to sow, only that we're supposed to do it. But I think there's wisdom that we can use. This is a blueberry bush. I love blueberry bushes, and when I'm from Wisconsin, so there's blueberries everywhere, and I wanted to plant blueberry bushes when I came to Montana. Did you know that is incredibly difficult to grow blueberry bushes in Montana? You have to cultivate the soil correctly. It has to have a certain acidity. You have to protect it from the cold, neither of which I did very well. And so every time I planted, it either died or never produced any fruit. And if I had planted or cultivated them well, I would have had a better chance of surviving. Now, I could plant God's word in the hearts of people in a number of ways, methods, programs, tactics. For instance, here's one. Scott Swingley, come here. Okay, come here, Scott. I'm gonna show you one method of planting the seed. Here is some seed, okay? Are you ready, Scott?
Absolutely.
Repent, you wicked sinner! C.B. Smith, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that I made this mess. I'll make my kids clean it up. Okay. All right. Here's another method. Scott. Jesus loves you. And I'm really sorry about all the hardship that you have gone through. And he wants life and freedom for you and your family.
Now that works.
That could be. Now, you can keep that. You're welcome. Okay. God could use, he could, despite me, he could turn a heart toward him using that method. He could, and I've seen it. It's happened. But knowing the ground and the manner in which I deliver the seed might make a difference in the effectiveness of his flourishing or his growth. Am I right? Okay. Number two. You cannot hurry or worry the kingdom's growth in people's lives. Day and night, when he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The seed is thrown out and planted, and the farmer waits for the seed, and it grows of its own accord, not due to the efforts of the farmer. God wants our full participation, but whether we choose to participate or not, his word will advance on the earth, and he is the one that will make it grow. We cannot force or change growth in other people's lives. The momentum of his grace to change and grow is because he's changing hearts and minds, not us. And honestly, this is a gigantic relief to me because it's not up to me to make someone to grow into maturity. It's not up to me to change my spouse. It's not up to me to change my coworkers or my children or my friends or even those who are opposed to God. Who changes someone's heart and direction in life? It is the Holy Spirit through God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. But I can be faithful, I can be obedient, I can show mercy and grace, I can teach and train, I can live out, I can invite and call up, I can place the seed in the hand. I cannot make anyone do those things with me, and I cannot control the outcome of the person who has received the message of the good news. It's God who is in control of the result. I must be obedient. I can't control the outcome, and I've said here from the stage before, in your world, obedience is greater than outcome. You cannot control the outcome because it is God who controls the growth. He is the one that makes it happen. You can't do it yourself. And that is a relief. Because like when I was in Bible college, I had to take a class called Dynamics of Personal Evangelism. My wife had to take it as well. It is really scary. Here's the premise of the class. You take with you a friend and you go out into the community and you have to do this 6 times, and you ask somebody, do you know Jesus? And they're like, no. I'm like, can I share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus? And I need to do this for my class. Would you just be willing to listen to me? The pressure for an 18-year-old kid to go out into the community and have to do this, because what if they didn't fall to their knees right then and there? I had failed the Lord. What if they never came to know the Lord because I did it wrong? Or what if they rejected me? And I've carried that kind of weight all throughout my life, and I've only recently learned to let go of it. It's the burden of, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And we go in with tight fists trying to make things happen in the hearts of others. How can I convince my adult child to repent from her rebellion? I desperately want that couple to know the heart of God and to go from once a month chair filler at church to someone actively pursuing God's kingdom purposes. What am I doing wrong? If only I could show him the error of his ways and he would fall to his knees and leave his sin. Why isn't he listening to me? Someone's salvation experience or repentance or growth into spiritual maturity is not up to me. It is up to God. We have to speak the words, be obedient, to be faithful to share the invitational grace of Jesus, and then relax, let go, rest in God, trust him, release it. And if I face rejection, I know he's already promised it, but I can rest that he's in control. And that seed which we throw out, it grows. We don't know how, but it does. And then it's ready to be harvested. The third takeaway is God's word will produce a harvest of salvation and growth. The message of the kingdom of heaven is the return of humanity back into right relationship with God. God is looking to reap what was lost and now is found, and he's going to bring us back through by collecting us the harvest. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. My Thursday morning men's group is started a, kind of like a Bible study with the Bible Project. And the first thing that we talked about this Thursday was, what is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? They're used synonymously in the New Testament. So I'm going to use a couple of screenshots up here from this video that I'd use. So in the book of Genesis, the Lord God creates the heavens and the earth, and he places two humans in the Garden of Eden. And he walks with them, and he dwells with Adam and Eve, and there's a partnership between them. Heaven and earth are together, they overlap. But through their rebellion, the humans are separated from God, and sin and darkness overtake the earth as a separate place from heaven, the kingdom of God. Until Jesus, because when Jesus came, he proclaimed that he was bringing the kingdom of God back to earth. And he said, Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's talking about. He's bringing God's rule and reign and reconciliation of God to humans. And his plan of reconciliation is to take the punishment for our rebellion and reunite us with God by submitting himself as a sacrifice, dying on a cross through crucifixion for our sin, being buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then defeating death and separation from God by being raised on that third day. And he defeated death, and he closed the gap between heaven and earth, giving each of us an opportunity to accept the offer of salvation from him. And when we do that, he gives us his spirit to live inside of us, and we ourselves become little pockets of heaven overlapping the earth, little temples walking around with the salvation message, with an invitation to others to know him and to join with him in the advancement of his kingdom here on earth. That is what the gospel is, the gospel of Jesus. The seed is the advancement, the proclamation of the good news, the gospel message, the word of God. It's advanced. It's thrown out through our words, our actions. It's the invitation from God and his people to hear, who those who hear and watch be reconciled and submitted to him and receive his salvation and justice and hope and healing. That is the kingdom of God. The advancement of his authority over the earth, that people would be free from the dominion of darkness and join with him in the kingdom of light. And God is asking us to submit to his authority of his kingdom, to change who we are and put on a different identity than what we've had. Now, what I've just said, this is a hard, hard, hard message for our culture to hear. And I'm gonna explain why. Because in Western American culture, even though this is good news, and I've set it up for this many times from up here, the pervasive mindset is expressive individualism. That is the mindset. Here's what it is. You be you, you be true to yourself, follow your heart, chase your dreams. Being happy is what's most important. The purpose of life is to look inside yourself and find yourself and then express it to the world. I'll put it another way. It goes like this. I'm gonna look inside myself and define myself by my deepest desires. And then I'm going to look around to everybody else for affirmation of what I've already decided about myself. And then if I want, I'm going to look up to God or some other higher power, or some transcendent thing to validate however I've already decided to define myself. That is the message. Just you take those three things and look at every piece of media, every Disney movie. That is what it is. But here is the message of Jesus, the self-sacrificial way of Jesus, which is antithetical to this message. Here it is. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is very clear that when you claim him as Lord, your life no longer belongs to you. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, your possessions, your sexuality, your experiences, your desires. Jesus ransomed them all, and they all belong to him. But this type of self-denial, what you see on the screen here, and it's you're denying your chosen identity, that is not just frowned upon in our culture. It's abhorrent. As a matter of fact, that's the worst sin that you can do in this culture. Denying who you are is the worst sin, what you've chosen for yourself. And for those of us who take off of our old identity, who are being conformed to and reborn to and reborn in Jesus Christ with a new identity, when we invite others to do the same, I really hate to tell you this, we are considered the greatest sinners. Because despite what you think, the kingdom message of Jesus is not for us, it's not to be healthy or happy or safe or comfortable or self-actualized. It's to be obedient. This sounds like a really difficult field to sow in. But the truth is, God is asking us to participate in the sowing of his word. He will grow the field into maturity. God says the fields are ready for harvest. It's happening and will happen because this worldview, just like all the others, will eventually collapse, and it is collapsing. It's unsustainable. Has anyone ever heard of a program called Alpha? Yes, JR has. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, JR, okay. It is an invitational program where you can invite non-believers and relapsed Christians to find a safe place to discuss bigger things in life. There are pockets of this program all over our country and in Canada and even out into the world. And I've heard many recent stories of young people especially that have come to these Alpha meetings that have been invited, it's a safe place, looking for something bigger than themselves. Because most of them are tired of hearing about self-actualization, about how they are individually the most important thing in the world. Because they're realizing it's not true. You're not the most important thing in the world. What? So it's a safe place where people can talk about important life issues and maybe discover life in the kingdom of God. And so when people realize that this expressive individualism is an empty shell, who will step in to fill the void? Who will share the good news? Who will plant the seed and reap the harvest? The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for harvest time has come. Would you stand with me? I'd like to invite the prayer team up to my left. What role do you have in his call to advance the kingdom of God? Have you ever responded the call to follow him? Perhaps you would like to do that today. the prayer team, myself, will be up here to talk to you. Or perhaps, maybe you've been sitting on the sidelines and you want to live a holistic life of ministry, helping cultivate the growth in others. You can come find me too, we're the prayer team. We'd love to talk to you. Whatever it is, God is asking you to participate in his kingdom. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word that is coming into our hearts and bringing understanding and life. Thank you for your stories and your message. Thank you for your life that you lived here on earth. You are a good king, bringing a good kingdom onto this earth. Thank you for the reuniting of heaven and earth. And we look forward to the day where it's completely united. Thank you, God, for this day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff.